This morning, we're going to continue our series, Faith for the Journey. We're going to be in Hebrews 11 to start this off, Hebrews 11, and we'll be looking at verse 33, and then we'll be going back to the Old Testament here in a few minutes. But over the past several weeks, we've looked at faith basically in connection with leaders. Hebrews 11, verse 32 talks about we basically have six men, five of them were judges, and one was a king. And I talked about their faith. And, you know, we went through that over a few weeks there, and we saw faith and humility, submission, weakness, rejection, patience, and contentment. You know, those of you that lead or are leaders of people in any way at all, I encourage you to, if you get a chance, to go back and, this is ringing, I'm going to move that over there a little bit. Go back, if you get a chance, read through that, study it out, because we find faith really is required of leaders, not only to lead after God, but to lead people properly. And there's, as far as faith is concerned, we need to trust in the Lord. But today, we come across the next verse. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, you notice it says there, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies, it says there, of the aliens. You know, in those two verses, basically what we have there, or what we come across there, is a bunch of references without names. Up until this point, you notice there were names given as far as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joshua and Moses and so forth. And then we come to a verse with a bunch of general references, basically to events and things that had occurred, but no names assigned to those. I believe that was for a purpose. I believe the Hebrews, who he was writing to, understood what he was talking about and what he was referring to. But also, many of these are general. What I mean by that, as we'll see not only today, but also over the next few weeks, is some of these can fit many different people as far as the general reference is concerned. And then you have some, I guess you would say they are specific. When you read some of these, a specific event comes to mind. And so when we go through this, when we hit those, that's where we'll stop. And that's what we'll look at. So today we're going to notice or take a look at verse 33. And over the next few weeks, we'll hit some of the highlights of that verse. Notice it says there that they subdued kingdoms. By faith, subdued kingdoms. That's referring, I believe, to those that fought and conquered for the Lord. They fought the Lord's battles and were victorious. You think of Joshua. You think of Caleb. David comes to mind. Many others who probably are not mentioned in the Old Testament also probably fit this description. They lived for God and God blessed them in battle. Now, this morning we may not be fighting the physical battles of the Lord, but you know we have spiritual battles, and those need to be won by faith, trusting in God, looking to God, and relying upon the Lord. Secondly, we see here that they wrought righteousness, is what the Bible tells us there in verse 32, and they wrought righteousness. Basically, that means they worked good deeds or produced good deeds. Now, keep in mind, this is not referring to lost individuals trying to attain salvation. It's referring to those that already belong to God, living for God, walking with God, and producing good works because they've been changed. You know, once you're saved, now salvation is by grace and through faith. Ephesians makes that very clear. But once you're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and it's possible to produce good works, to wrought righteousness and produce works that are pleasing unto the Lord. Next, you'll notice it says there that they obtained promises. Now, this is a general reference. I mean, there are many that obtained promises in the Old Testament. They were given promises by faith. They trusted God, and they received those promises fulfilled. I think of Abraham and the promises given to him. David likewise received promises, and many others were given promises, and God blessed them. You know, all the promises of God we should put our faith in. If he's given us his word, he'll also keep his word. Now we come next, and this is where we're going to stop this morning. It's a lengthy introduction to this passage, but I wanted to go over those few references there. It comes to, after it says obtained promises, notice what it says next. It says stopped the mouths of lions. Now this is a general reference, but I imagine many of you have already thought of one individual that this applies to. Now we know Samson defeated a lion with his bare hands, and David conquered a lion with his sling. But when you're talking about shutting the lion's mouths, Daniel comes to mind. And this morning, we are going to take a few minutes to look at Daniel and his life of faith. You see, Daniel was opposed. That's why he was put into that lion's den. Because the world opposed him. They went against him. They went against his God. They went against his life. And they opposed him. But Daniel continued to live by faith. This morning, the title of our message is Faith When Facing Opposition. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. And as we look at Daniel this morning and we examine his faith, I pray that you'll encourage us, provide the challenge we need to take a stand for you. And Lord, I pray that we'll live by faith whenever we're opposed, whether it's in a very simple manner or if it's through persecution. Lord, I pray that we will trust in you as we live for you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Daniel was opposed by, and he continued to live by faith. Before we get into this, let me give you some thoughts on Daniel. Daniel's an interesting individual, but Daniel was a man who lived by faith. From the very beginning, he was taken from his home as a teenager. We find that in Daniel chapter 1. And actually, if you want to make your way over to Daniel 6, that's where we're going to be primarily this morning, is in Daniel 6. But the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 1 that he was taken from his home as a teenager. Now, he didn't volunteer to go. He basically was taken into slavery when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians swooped into Jerusalem and conquered the city, and they began to deport Jews away. And he was one of those. Him and some of his friends were one of those that were taken out of Jerusalem, and they left. And Daniel never returned. That's what's interesting, too. He never went back. You talk about faith and being content where God has led you. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't volunteer to be taken away and to live in slavery. But that wasn't Daniel's choice, but that's what God allowed into his life. But he continued to live by faith. And Daniel was blessed. You know, Daniel chapter 1 gives an interesting comment on Daniel. In Daniel 1 verse 17, as for these four children, talking about his friends and himself, it says there, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. But then notice Daniel. It says, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. You know, this morning, I think you could arguably say that Daniel was probably the most intelligent man that may have ever walked this earth outside of Jesus Christ. Solomon had wisdom. Notice what Daniel had. Understanding, it says there. It says God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. He had understanding, probably beyond comprehension with these Babylonians had, but also it says understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel was not only intelligent concerning things of the world, but he was also spiritually intelligent. God had given him that ability and that knowledge. You know, this morning, the world, now this is a lie of the world. The world wants you to believe. Now, young people, listen to this. The world wants you to believe that intelligence and faith do not belong together. That you have intelligence on this side, and if you're smart, then you don't need any faith. And if you have faith, then you're not intelligent. That's a foolish lie is what that is. That's the lie the world is trying to promote, so that way it keeps people from trusting in God. It keeps them relying upon their knowledge or their intelligence and seeking after education. Now, education is excellent. We should seek knowledge. I think we find in the Scriptures, here's one example, that we can be intelligent, we can be educated, and put our faith in God at the same time. There is no, I guess, contradiction. There is no opposites there. They do mix. You put your faith in God. And by the way, there have been and there are many intelligent people that trust in the Lord and look to Him. Daniel was one of them. Very intelligent man. And as we continue through this, we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 6 this morning. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. I'm going to give you two thoughts concerning Daniel and his faith. And as we go through this, we're going to find five characteristics. And it's kind of a different kind of message, so you have to follow along with me here. Two thoughts. Five characteristics that were produced by Daniel's faith. The first thought is Daniel had faith when he was discouraged. And we're going to see three of these characteristics pop up here. Faith when he was discouraged. Verse 1 says, it pleased Darius, this is Daniel 6, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion it says, nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, or according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. Notice here this morning, as we look at this passage, Daniel had faith when discouraged. Now, I'm going to tell you, he was discouraged, or he had to have been discouraged, because of what had occurred in the kingdom. How many of you are discouraged sometimes when you watch the news? Some of the events and happenings that are taking place can be discouraging. Daniel, I'm sure, was discouraged when he found out about this law that had been put in place, this decree that had been signed by the king. Now, where Daniel was at the time, he may have been off on business. Maybe he had a vacation. Who knows? But they worked and they conspired to get this law put in place. And basically, it was a law that prevented or commanded Daniel not to pray. I give you a question right now. What if that law was put in place today in the United States of America? My first thought, of course, is, oh, that couldn't happen. But then I stop and think a little bit, and you never know what can happen. What if someone made that law that you could not pray to God Jehovah of the Bible? Would you pray? That's the law that was given to Daniel that was handed out in the nation and that Daniel had to deal with. And the law, if broken, was punishable by death. So they were taking this serious. It wasn't just something that they put out there and it was no big deal. If anyone broke this, then they would face death. So if Daniel talked to God, he would be guilty before the kingdom. I tell you, that's a rotten law when you think about it. Terrible that any nation would think of doing something like that. But that's what they did. Now, Daniel, I guarantee you this, he was tempted not to pray. Notice it wasn't a law that was set forever. It wasn't like this was a law that was set in place that would never be broken. The Bible makes it very clear that this law had an ending to it. In other words, Daniel could probably wait it out. Daniel could look and say, you know, if I wait these 30 days, if I wait this month, you know what, then eventually the law will be back to normal, and guess what, I can begin praying again. So Daniel was probably tempted to not pray. I'm sure he may have thought, well, why should I pray and die? Why pray? Here's another thought that may have crossed his mind. Why pray when everything has already been settled? You know, I hear that today all the time. I hear Christians, I've read Christians say, well, why keep fighting that battle if it's already been settled? Now, I tell you, that's a terrible attitude to take concerning sin and concerning what's right and what's wrong. Yes, we can live for God. Yes, we should live for God. We should be faithful even if everyone else is going the other direction. So Daniel was probably tempted to follow this direction and perhaps maybe tempted not to pray. You see, he was encouraged to forsake God and to live without seeking the Lord. Now, when you think about that, that's terrible. You see, the Bible tells us when we're discouraged, when we have hardships and trials, what are we to do? We're to go to God, cast our cares upon the Lord. And here, this law said, no, don't do it. You know, sadly, some have forsaken prayer even without a law. You know, as Christians, we can forsake prayer without even having a law there. You know, I encourage you to make prayer a large part of your life. But here's the characteristics that faith produced. Notice the Bible says here in verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he had knowledge of this. He wasn't fooled. As far as his decision was made with understanding, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I'm going to give you 3 characteristics that were produced by his faith when he was discouraged. First, his faith produced boldness. This was a bold act. Anytime you're talking about life and death and punishment, by death, boldness is involved, courage. And this produced boldness. Daniel did not run out of the city to hide. He could have done that. He didn't cowardly submit down to the law and say, well, I'll just wait it out and see what happens. You see, Daniel refused. He refused to hide his love for God. He didn't care what the government said or what others thought. He wasn't going to hide his love from God. And the Bible tells us that he prayed, it says there at the end of that, as he did aforetime. In other words, he prayed and lived like he had always done. In other words, the wicked and sinful law was not going to change his life for God. Now that's faith. Continuing to live for God when opposed, when someone goes against you. Now in Daniel's case, this was persecution. You know, sometimes in our day, we can be opposed, but it may not be to this level. But anytime you're opposed, as far as anytime there is a threat to how you should live for God, it takes boldness to continue. And that's what faith produces. You trust in God. You believe God is real. You believe God will hear your prayers and bless. So you boldly continue to seek after the Lord. Now, Daniel's house was a place of prayer. How many of your houses are places of prayer? They should be. They should be places of prayer. Places we seek the Lord out and talk to the Lord. You know, this morning, thank the Lord for our church. But this building is just a building. You see, you don't have to come to this building or to these altars to pray. You're saved. You have a mediator, Jesus Christ. You can go to God the Father wherever you are because of Jesus Christ and your salvation. So I encourage you to make your home a place of prayer where you seek the Lord out. If you have a family, pray as a family and seek the Lord in prayer. So we see that his faith produced boldness. Secondly, his faith produced dedication. Notice in verse 10 it says there, that he continued and he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now, I believe that Daniel had faith before this occurred. That's why he was able to continue. When the trial came, he just remained dedicated by faith. And that's what we find here. Faith produced dedication. He prayed three times, no different than any other day. You know, I think it's interesting is Daniel evidently followed David's example. Psalm 55 verse 17 says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice." You know, in the Bible we're not given a strict, I guess you say, schedule of prayer. We're not. The Lord hasn't given us that. And by the way, we don't need that. If you're saved here this morning, you belong to God, you have a relationship with the Lord and you can seek the Lord out no different than you would in any other relationship. I think of any relationship. You think of a marriage, a husband and a wife. They're able to talk to each other, and they do, or they should, converse and communicate and talk to each other. You know, with our relationship with God, we should do the same. We don't have to have a set schedule or a certain time to go to the Lord in prayer. Now, Daniel here evidently went three times a day just like David. Now, that's even though it's not a set schedule, it's a good example. What I mean by that is it's a good example to follow. Why? You start your day with God. In the middle of the day, you seek the Lord out in case you got any troubles or trials or anything else going on. And then you end your day with God. That's just a good example to follow. So if you're not following that, perhaps that's an example you would like to make part of your spiritual life. Seek the Lord as you begin your day, in the middle of it, and at the end. And that's what Daniel did. And that's a good example, I think, to follow after. What we find is he was dedicated. He was faithful. I tell you what, he was going to pray no matter what anyone else said. He was going to continue to talk to God. And he was a busy man. I mean, the position he held was similar to a position of a prime minister of a nation or of a realm. And so he was a busy man, but he made time for God. This morning, as far as prayer and faith, I encourage you to make time for God. You know, these men knew where they would find Daniel. They knew that they would find him on his knees praying. They knew that he'd be there. This morning, as believers, you know, people should know how we live. They should know how we act. They should know if we seek the Lord, or if we love the Lord, if we're people of prayer, if we're faithful to God. They knew that David would be found, or Daniel would be found on his knees, and they knew where to find him. You know, Daniel talked to God. It was impossible. I guess you say it was impossible for him not to. That's just how he lived life. I hope and pray that your faith grows to the point where it becomes that way. Where prayer is like breathing. It's just part of your life. You talk to God every day because you love the Lord and you seek His help and you seek His, direction. You know, there's a story I read a while back of a fisherman. He went out to fish with two of his friends. He was a believer, or at least claimed to be a believer, loved the Lord. And his other two friends they never went to church and had no interest in God. Well, they're out there fishing one day and out on a lake, and a storm came up. They didn't get off in time. And they were sitting there, and the storm's coming, and they're trying to get off. And one of them finally looked over and said, "Why don't you pray?" And this man said, "Well, I don't know." The other one said, "Well, come on, you can pray. I mean, this is getting bad out here. We got to get off." So he said, "Okay." And here's his prayer. He said, "Oh, Lord, I haven't asked anything of you in 15 years. If you help me out now and bring us home safely, I won't bother you again in another 15 years. You know, that's how some people pray. Prayer is just to get them out of trouble. That's it. I want to challenge you this morning. Don't have a prayer life like that. Yes, God, we can go to God and pray in times of troubles. But, you know, we should be praying to God when things are good, when there are no troubles. You should seek the Lord in prayer. You know, I think if you pray to God when there are no troubles, when the troubles come, then it's going to be a lot easier to talk to Him and take your problems to God, because you've been talking with the Lord on a daily basis and seeking the Lord out. So Daniel continued to pray, continued to seek the Lord. So I guess it produced dedication. The third thing that we find that it produced thanksgiving. It produced thanksgiving. Notice what it says there at the end of verse 10. It says, "And prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." I've often wondered, what did Daniel have to give thanks for? Think about it. Here he is in the middle of this nation that had written this terrible law. His life now was threatened by death. Yet he gave thanks to God as he did aforetime. During this trial and this great test, Daniel was grateful to the Lord. You know, there's no trial too great that should keep us from thanking God. Hey, if you're alive, thank God. You have salvation. You got something to be thankful for. No matter what is going on in your life, you can be grateful and you can give thanksgiving unto the Lord. Perhaps David or Daniel was just thanking God for his life or for the blessings that he had given. I'll be the first to tell you that this humbled me a while back when I was looking at this verse. Because if Daniel was able to find something to give thanks for, then I think we should be able to find something on a daily basis to give thanks for too. I mean, right in the middle of the trial, he was grateful to God. Now, by faith, he prayed. That's what happened here. Daniel didn't know what was going to take place. He didn't know the future. He didn't know how God was going to work. But by faith, he continued to seek the Lord out. He believed in God, obviously. And he believed God would hear his prayers and answer his prayers. And he believed God would take care of him through his trial. He believed God would provide. And I guess you say he believed God would take care of him. It was faith. It was all faith. I mean, he couldn't see the end. He had nothing there as far as physically to grab hold of. We have a man who continued to go to God by faith when he was discouraged. You know, this morning, if you're ever discouraged, follow the example and fall on your knees and seek God in prayer. And that's what Daniel did. Secondly, we're going to look at verses 11 through 17. And we're not going to look at the entire passage in detail, but we're going to look that Daniel had faith when deserted. When I say deserted, I'm not talking that his friends necessarily ran out on him. But he found himself all alone, is what happened. Verse 11, it says there, Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So here I can see these men, they're spying out and they find Daniel. They know when he's going to pray. And I imagine they go and either peek up on the roof where he's praying, look in the windows, and they find him praying. And it says there in verse 12, "And they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" What we have next is these men go before this king and say, "Here, remember what you signed? And guess what? We caught Daniel." Now, Daniel was liked. Daniel was a favorite of the king. Basically, Daniel was a dedicated worker that was a blessing to his nation. And the king appreciated him. It goes on to say in verse 14, it says, "And the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him and labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him." You know, this morning, we're going to stop there. And here in a minute, we're going to see the last two characteristics that faith produced. But I want you to notice is he had faith when he was deserted. This king, Darius, was displeased with himself, and rightly so. He signed this into law. I don't know if he was just proud when they put it before him. He thought, "Man, that's a good idea. Have everyone bow down to me or come to me first." You know, leaders can be proud. Many are. Maybe that's what it was, just that pride. Maybe he didn't think of Daniel at all. Maybe he didn't know Daniel personally too well, and he thought, "Oh, that's no big deal." Either way, the Bible tells us he was displeased with himself, and so he went about trying to fix his mistake. And to his credit, he personally attempted to deliver Daniel. I don't know all that he did, but I imagine this man may have gotten his lawyers involved and said, hey, let's find a loophole. I know I signed this, but there's got to be a way out of this. Maybe he got his lawyers involved. Maybe he tried to overturn the law. Maybe he even may have tried to pay it off or do something to get these men to drop it or to get rid of it or to ignore it. Whatever he did, the Bible tells us he was unsuccessful. He couldn't change what had been written. And according to the Medes and Persians, and we know this according to history too, that their laws were binding. When they were signed into decree, that was it. They wouldn't change them. Now I tell you, you think about that. Daniel was stuck. The only one that could help him was unable to, as far as the only one on earth that could help him was unable to. Daniel found himself basically deserted all by himself. He had already committed, in these people's minds, he'd already broken the law. And so they had already found him praying, and now they were going to bring him, and they wanted punishment now. They weren't looking to plea bargain. They wanted to get rid of Daniel. And now they had an opportunity. So Daniel, I guess you could say, was stuck without assistance. I tell you what, he was all by himself. And by faith, the Bible says he persisted. He didn't quit. He could have pled for mercy from these guys. Now, that would have been cowardly. It would have been. And a lot of people would have done it, but Daniel didn't. He didn't try to apologize for anything he had done because he'd done nothing wrong. He had just prayed to God. You see, this morning, don't apologize for being a Christian. If God has saved your soul and you're living for the Lord and someone doesn't like it, I'm not saying we're rude and pushy, but you know what? Let's not apologize for our faith. I tell you what, let's not apologize for Jesus Christ dying on the cross. He died for our sins. Let's proclaim it and let people know that there is a Savior. Their sins can be forgiven. They can get things right with God. Daniel didn't apologize for his actions. Daniel persisted and continued on. And here's where we find two characteristics that were produced by faith. First one was patience. Patience. You know, Daniel let things run their course. You notice he didn't run to the king himself. These men were running to the king, trying to get him accused and trying to get him pretty much executed. But he didn't run to the king. He didn't try to have the law changed and try to petition the king so that way they could do something differently. Also, Daniel didn't make a public scene. He didn't go out there and make a big deal of things. He didn't enlist others to try to help him overturn this decree. What we have Daniel doing is trusting in God. That's faith is what that is. He didn't panic. He didn't fall apart. He allowed God to work and trusted that God would work things out according to his will. And whatever it was, Daniel was going to allow it to take place. You see, there was nothing he could do anyway. I think that point was put in there for a reason. There was nothing Daniel could do. The king could not even overturn this law. So Daniel couldn't do anything anyway. George Mueller, the English pastor years back and had many orphanages, said this concerning faith. He says, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. He says, there is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins when man's power ends. And that's where faith is. You see, it's not faith to go to the store and buy groceries because they're sitting there at Walmart from the food that you, or the money you've saved up. That's not faith. That's just living life. Faith may be when you are out of money, you can't go get groceries, and you trust in God to provide. And then the Lord provides in some miraculous way, whether someone drops by out of the blue and provides money or food, whatever it is. See, that's faith. When nothing can be done humanly possible, and you put your faith in God. You know, this morning, there may be some of you here this morning that have come upon a situation like that. Whether it's with your career, whether it's with your finances or your personal life or your spiritual life, there may be something in your life that has come into your life that is, well, it's out of your control. You can't make the decision. You've done everything you could, and now it's time for you just to trust in God. I encourage you to learn from Daniel. Be patient. You see, faith produces patience. It allows God to work and just wait to see how he works in your life. And that's what Daniel did. He just allowed the things to run their course. Also, we see his faith produced contentment. Here's the fifth thought here. Contentment. Daniel trusted God instead of trusting in himself or anyone else. You know, he knew these men were after him. He knew their wicked plans. He knew the wicked consequences as far as being thrown into that lion's den. And instead of worrying or fretting or becoming discontent, the Bible tells us that he just waited and allowed God to work and just went. Notice what it says here. And we're going to see in verse 16, it says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually," he says, "he will deliver you." Verse 17, "And a stone was brought, laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice from Daniel." It says, "And the king spake and said, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Here's where we find the culmination of Daniel's faith. It produced contentment. He trusted in God. Notice he didn't take things into his own hands. He was content with God's leading in his life and was going to allow the Lord to work. And finally, the Bible tells us that Daniel was delivered from the mouths of the lions. But here's some thoughts this morning before we wrap this up. To be delivered, he had to go through that trial. You know, sometimes we want to have all the blessings of winning great victories for God. But to win those victories, we got to be tested and we got to be tried. And that's what happened with Daniel. You know, if he wouldn't have went in the lion's den, we wouldn't be reading about this great act of faith. But he went through that and God blessed him. You see, God could have delivered Daniel at any time. That's what I believe. I believe God could have delivered him immediately out of the hands of those persecutors. But God chose to allow Daniel to go into that lion's den. See, that's where we find contentment. Daniel waiting on God's purpose and God's plan, and then God providing when the time was correct. And so Daniel trusted God, not only as he went towards the lion's den, but obviously he trusted God when he went into that lion's den. And I'll tell you what, you talk about faith. He had faith in the Lord. And by the way, the Bible says the lion's mouths were shut. There's nothing spoken concerning them sleeping or Daniel partying with them or having fun. You know, you see these pictures of Daniel sleeping on the lions and all of them having a good time. The Bible says nothing about that. The Bible says their mouths were shut. You know, I'm under the belief that Daniel probably did what all of us probably would do. He probably went, found a corner there, and began to pray and waited the night out. I could just see them lions pacing and walking about. You see, the man was able to look down there, and I imagine throughout the night others may have looked down and they saw these lions moving around. And Daniel, by faith, trusted in God. Now you talk about faith. That was a night of faith for Daniel. Now whether he slept or not, who knows? But the Bible says that the mouths were shut, that the Lord sent an angel to shut those mouths. Now he probably lived by faith down there, no different than he had anywhere else. And by faith, Daniel trusted God when he was deserted and when he was all alone and opposed. You know, in closing this morning, there's a lot there. And so I tried to hurry through this just to give you the 2 points and the 5 characteristics of how faith was produced. But here's to wrap this up. Daniel was greatly opposed. He was. You talk about persecution. He was persecuted for his faith. That's why they went after him. Because he loved God, he prayed, he served God. I mean, that's what they used to get him in trouble. And so Daniel was persecuted because of his faith in God. And he was opposed. But according to scriptures, the Bible tells us that he looked to God. He didn't quit, but he looked to the Lord. You know, the thoughts here of these 2 points are, first, when Daniel was discouraged, he prayed. This morning, when you get discouraged, whether it's because someone has provided opposition or if you're just discouraged, seek the Lord in prayer. Talk to God. Cast your cares upon Him. Secondly, when he was deserted, he persisted. He didn't quit. You know, that's when it becomes tempting to quit, is when others either quit or others are not with you. This morning, don't quit. Persist. You know, if you work and at your work site, you're the only believer, there are going to be days when you're going to have struggles. And you may be tempted to quit. Don't quit. Persist. Be faithful and trust in the Lord. See, Daniel did not quit. You know, this morning, my practical thought to you, or thoughts before we close this out, is nobody knows what the future holds. Nobody. We can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I can't tell you what's going to happen 10 years from today concerning our personal lives or our nation or our world. Nobody knows the future. Now, God does, of course, but nobody on earth knows the future. I'm not one of those, I guess you say, doom and gloom preachers. I'm not always looking for all the negative and the problems. But I will say this, it's evident in our nation that Bible believers are becoming the minority. It's clear. You read the news, you follow what's going on. And when I say Bible believers, I'm not talking people who claim to be Christians. I'm talking those who believe the Bible, apply it to their life, and look to God. It's becoming clear that they're the minority. And some want to get rid of Bible believers. It's evident. You find that in our nation today. I think it's always been there, but now I think there's just more of them, and they've got a larger voice. So none of us knows what the future is going to hold. I don't know if our future, as far as our nation, includes persecution of believers, but it could. You know, here's the pattern of persecution. We find it in this chapter. The pattern of persecution begins first with discouragement. The world will try to discourage Christians from living for the Lord. And you know what? There will be a lot of Christians who will forsake God when they're discouraged. But you know what? There's going to be a lot who will stand strong. Be one of those who stand strong. If persecution ever comes, or if you move, or if you happen to go to another country and there's persecution there, stand strong. You know, by the way, there are brothers and sisters in Christ this morning who face persecution. Thank God for our freedoms in this country. Because there are those who are persecuted this morning and struggle and are opposed because of their faith in God throughout this country. But that's where persecution begins. Usually it begins with discouragement. And those that are not discouraged and those that aren't quit, it moves to that second level, which is desertion. In other words, they're separated and they're opposed completely to the point where persecution comes in and oppression occurs. You find that through history. I don't believe our country's at that point, but we are definitely at that discouraging point. A lot of people want to discourage Christians from believing in God, trusting in God, living for God, serving the Lord, being in church on Sundays, walking with God, reading their Bible, praying, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. This morning, let's be faithful like Daniel was, no matter what happens. You know, of course, we pray for revival. We pray that God will send revival through our land and that we'll see lives changed. But if that does not happen anytime soon, let's be faithful. Like Daniel, let's trust in the Lord. Let's look to Him and let's live by faith. You know, the Bible does tell us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So let's not, I guess you say, become discouraged to the point where we quit, because we know that He'll be faithful. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day and for the blessings You've provided. We thank You for this lesson or this message concerning Daniel and for his faith. I pray this morning that You will just encourage each one of us here this morning that are saved to remain faithful, trust in You no matter what is going on in our life, but look to You and live by faith. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that is not saved, I pray they'll get that settled with You this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have just a short invitation this morning as the piano begins to play. I want to encourage you just to examine your hearts. I believe that God is powerful. I believe He's almighty. I believe He's the same God that shut the mouths of those lions. He hasn't changed. He's still the same. And this morning, if you have a problem in your life or you have a trial that you're enduring, put your faith in God. He can see you through. He may remove it immediately or He may allow it to remain for a period of time. Be sure He's got a purpose and a plan and trust in Him. Maybe there's one here this morning that has just come to the understanding that their salvation is not certain, and they have questions concerning salvation. If that's you here this morning, please come down. We can show you from God's Word how you can know that you're saved.